Welcome to maintenance. If you want to get coached on maintenance, you just need to raise your hand, but you need to be a maintenance person. This is not open coaching anymore. So if you're a hangover from the last call, don't raise your hand if you don't need to be coached. I do have an exciting announcement that y'all gonna be thrilled to hear from a maintenance girls. Number one, we are actively rewriting your maintenance program as of now. Do not ask me exactly when it's going to be released, but Coach Lizzie, that is our coach who specializes in goal setting and she specializes in perfectionism. She also, I don't know if y'all know this, but I think next week she got a new book coming out. Her second book is coming out. She will be a guest on my public podcast in the middle of January to promote her book. I'm so proud of her, number one. She wrote a book before Corinne did. So, which is still on my bucket list, but it's y'all are my priority, not that fucking book. So, but she is going to be your new maintenance coach. So I wanted to make sure that the coach that I put in charge of this was someone that I felt like had skills and really understands the maintenance mindset. So she is not only going to be your coach of record, so you'll see her more often in the Facebook group. She will be taking the maintenance calls over in January, and she is co-writing the maintenance program with me so that everything that I know and she knows about maintenance and goal setting and perfectionism and all the things and identity, she knows a lot about identity shifting, which to me is a key component of maintenance. If you can't shift your identity, it's really hard to keep the weight off. You can't be a maintenance person with a dieter's mindset. It just doesn't work long term. Otherwise, you're maintaining your weight miserably. And the whole goal of losing weight is what? To be happy, to feel better. And if you lose your weight and it's your identity is still out of a dieter, you're not happy. You're anxious, you're worried, and you're scared most of the time. That's no way to live. And what do we do? If we're anxious, scared, and worried all the time about our weight, about regaining it, and all in our food and stuff like that, what do we end up doing? We have to figure out a way to relieve the pressure. And because when we're in maintenance, now we don't have a powerful reason to not go back to overeating. You know, when you think about it, when you're losing weight, for a lot of us, when we hit maintenance, that goal to get that weight off is so powerful for us. It doesn't have to be. So, if anybody's sitting here thinking that it needs to feel powerful to lose all your weight, it doesn't have to be. But for a lot of us, it's so powerful, it will override and make us do things all the way to the finish line. But I am telling you right now, when you don't have that anymore, and you keep the dieter's mindset, you have nothing that's going to keep you doing it. You're going to want to go back to eating to relieve the pressure because you haven't given yourself any other way to relieve the pressure. So I just couldn't be more proud of Lizzie. She has done several things behind the scenes that y'all don't even know she does. She's a top-tier coach. All of our coaches are top-tier, but they all have their different specialties. And when I was looking at which coach I thought would really be the one to take maintenance to a whole new level for us, I knew it was Lizzie. So you'll see her starting next month. You have me today. And then I will always be subbing for Lizzie if for some reason Lizzie can't be there. And either Lizzie or I will also be dropping you a video at the first of the month to let you know how to use new content. We do a little video in your Facebook group if you don't know. I have been doing a video each month telling you how to use No BS, whatever we're doing that month, in your maintenance life. And then once I feel like Lizzie's got her feet underneath her and stuff, she'll probably take those videos over too. But one of us will be doing it. And I'm just so excited for y'all. I really am. I'm so impressed with Lizzie. She's a good girl. All right, Stephanie. Let's get you. Anyone know the name of the Facebook group? I think it's No BS Maintenance. I think if you just look up No BS Maintenance, I think you'll find it. All right, what do you want coaching on?
I'm always on here. Well, the last time I was on here, I had two things, and one of them I kind of felt like I was working through, and but I actually would really like some coaching on it. So I started going back to the gym because I'm a joy eater, binger. And going to the gym has brought me a lot of joy, and de-stress. It really is something I look forward to so much.
Oh my God, would
But
you please come here and like sweat on me or do something? I was literally gonna write a podcast about, I was just listening to my brain the last few weeks. I'm like, I never look forward to going to the gym anymore. It's a miracle I still go because I'm just like, it is such a shit show. It's just like, oh, I don't want to go. This, in fact, I got coached on it last week because my biggest thought was, the gym is in the way of my dreams. And I was like, I cannot believe I said that out loud. Anyway, I know you can't come sweat on me. My answer doesn't lie in you giving me your gift, but all right. So it's distress, de-stresses you, it's bringing you joy. Okay. You actually like going.
I do.
Okay. That's
But
awesome.
when I saw the fertility specialist, because I haven't gotten my period back yet, he suggested that I pull back on the exercise.
Okay.
And
How much are
I've
you
built
doing?
5 days a week,
Okay. And how long?
about 45 to 50 minutes, a combination of HIIT and weightlifting, and then I get about 5 to 7,000 steps in daily
Okay.
average.
And he thinks that's affecting your fertility. What is his like? Or her, I get, it could be either. Well, go ahead and finish. I'm just trying to figure out like what's going on here.
And I am seeing this cycle of Monday through Friday, I'm going to the gym. I'm not pulling back. I'll be totally honest with that. And Saturday and Sunday, when I'm resting, I do start to feel cramping. I kind of start to feel like maybe my period is going to come back. And I have a lot of reasons why I want it to come back. It is getting to the point where, having low estrogen for a long time isn't good for your health in general. So it's not just I want to get pregnant. I know that it's more than just that. It's a health concern, right?
Yeah.
But I cannot bring myself to pull back on the exercise.
What do you think's going to happen if you pull back on the exercise? And I don't mean
It
the like good stuff.
is the one joy I really have and look forward to right now. I am so much in the grind, and I have a beautiful family, and I love my family, but it really is the one place that I look forward to that I get that same joy, dopamine release that I would get from food.
Could you just
And
go to the gym and not exercise then?
I don't think it would do the same.
Why?
It wouldn't, because I wouldn't feel a release. I wouldn't feel
But why? Why would you not feel a release?
Because I wouldn't be physiologically like doing some kind of, because your body does release endorphins and things when you work out.
It also releases endorphins when you sit in the quiet. Just as much. So
It
tell me
doesn't.
why.
It doesn't feel the same.
Why? You're gonna have to tell me why it doesn't feel the same. And it's in there. And it's not endorphins because you literally can get endorphins from sitting in a blackout room.
It lets me shut my brain off and while doing something productive.
Oh, why can't you just meditate? That's also a good way to shut your brain off. You could just go to the gym, find a quiet spot, earbuds in, just sit, and you could train your brain to shut down for 45 minutes away from the grind. Why not?
I also have fitness goals. I don't want to lose the muscle that I've been gaining back.
Right, we need to get to all the reasons. Because that's why you're continuing to go. Okay. I think you're telling me a lot of what we call nice reasons, and you're not giving me your honest fears. I'll lose my muscle. Like what else? What are your real fears?
I have, since going back to the gym, I have increased my, because I do make sure that I'm eating enough calories. So I track that, and I have increased based on kind of a chat GPT calculation, but I am gaining weight.
Okay.
And I'm afraid also to pull back on exercise.
Okay. That's why you're doing it. I'm afraid
Yeah.
I'll gain weight if I like, and this is the thing. Right now, you're calling your exercise your joy in life. It's not your joy. It's creating safety from gaining weight. And I think you really need to articulate it that way. I'm not saying you don't get joy out of it, but when I was really pressing you, I think you need to see all sides of it. I'm
Yeah.
using exercise as a way to control my body.
Yeah.
Because if it was literally, that's why I kept saying, we'll just go to, I mean, if we really just need to get a break from the grind, nobody said you had to go to the gym to get away from your family. You can go to the gym and sit and do nothing. You can read a book.
Yeah.
Like, do it. You could go to the daycare center and say, I'm checking this baby in right here. Somebody take care of me.
Yeah.
And when you don't articulate it that way, then what ends up happening is you're working on the wrong thing. It's the safety around food and like the eating, it's coming back to the same problem. I don't disagree that you probably should be tracking calories. I will say this though, ChatGPT does not do a good job of that. My husband is like a really deep cuts technical person. He writes code. He ran a software division of a major company for 25 years. He really understands this. He's been digging into AI for us because we're using it behind the scenes for our own work. I'm not plugging y'all into any AI. Y'all do not need to worry. Them ask coaches is now answered by Kathy Bot. It's not. But like when I'm writing, it's a really good way for me to like do back and forth work. To say, like, can you proofread this? Can you do this? Can you do that? Now, with all that said, it sucks at math. It's probably even given you wrong calculations. If you're going to get calorie calculations, please, for God's sakes, don't get it from ChatGPT. Get you a nutritionist. Get you somebody who like your doctor to help you find someone who can really help you, because your needs are very different than what ChatGPT can give you. It's not
And
going to.
I know that I'm not overeating because I will wake up in the middle of the night, like my stomach is growling. I am hungry, and I am following that and eating, but so I know I'm not overeating. It's not that, but I
Maybe
am
you're not
gaining.
eating. Okay. Like when you say I'm gaining, what does that mean? Like how much have you gained from when? That kind of stuff.
I have also been I did get on the scale about a week and a half ago. But I have been taking a break from the scale because I was avoiding it because I was watching it. It was making me not want to, it was making me want to start restricting again, and I don't want to do that.
But I just need to, like, if your brain is saying I'm gaining weight and you can't tell me you're gaining weight because you're not weighing, like, I just want to know, like, what does gaining weight to you mean? Is it actual pounds you've seen? Is it something else?
I've seen, so my clothes, the way my clothes fit are much tighter. I gained 5 pounds in the past month.
And are you on any new meds or anything for all this stuff that you're doing with the doctor?
No.
No. Okay. So I just want to make sure I have like a clear picture. You're trying to get your fertility back in line, right? You do want to have a baby. Is that what you're wanting to do?
Yeah. Eventually, or at least get my hormones back online.
All right. And your doctor, what did he say about the, is it a he or she? Because I don't want to call it the wrong
He.
he. Okay. What did he say about the exercise? No exercise? Change the exercise? Or what did he say about it?
No, he just said this can happen if you're under stress or if you've been restricting for a long period of time. Or if you're not fueling your workouts enough,
Do
or
you
if you're
feel like
working
you're fueling
overworking
yours?
out.
All right. Outside of the 5 pound weight gain, okay, we're going to remove that as a part of you deciding what's happening. Do you feel like you are considering what you do and your exercise? Do you feel like you're actually fueling them, or are you using them as a compensation measure?
I've increased my calorie count.
But that's not what I asked you. I want you to think about, like, just, I'm not going to make you eat more food, okay? And I'm not going to make you stop exercising. I'm not going to make you do anything. You a grown ass woman, you can do whatever you want. My job is to present you with lots of options. And my job is also to let you just see what the reality is, and then you get to decide. So we're not going to take anything away from you, because what I don't want you to think is that I'm fixing to tell you to do all these things and you're like, oh my God, I'm just going to get fat, because then you won't do anything. Because I think that that's probably your baseline fear. You probably, like, unfortunately in this world, women fear getting fat more than they fear compromising their health when they're older. And we have to decide even, what is fat, like, you look pretty fucking thin to me. I'm just gonna say. Do you feel like, honestly, that what you're eating is actually enough to maintain your weight and fuel the activity level that you're at?
I don't know. We've talked about this before. I've got a lot of GI issues, and so I feel extremely bloated often, and So it is, I am working on how do I figure out my hunger signals and fullness signals, and it's not just bloating, gas. And so I don't know. I'm eating when I get hungry, when I feel my stomach growling. I am eating when I get hungry.
Do you trust your hunger signals? I want you to think about it this way. Do you trust that you respond to early hunger and that your fear of gaining weight doesn't get in the way of that?
No, I don't trust my hunger signals. That was part of why I started taking, not weighing as often, as I was finding myself thinking, that doesn't make any sense. Why I feel hungry, that doesn't make sense because I'm gaining weight. Maybe my hunger signals are off or.
Well, I will say this, and I'm no doctor, so please, for God's sakes, don't take this as medical knowledge. But what I do know is that if you have a lot of gastro problems combined with a lot of hormonal things going on, I agree you shouldn't be weighing in, but I don't know that you're gaining fat. And that's hard when you don't want to gain weight, but at the same time, it's reality. You may be freaking out over weight swings, even if you're up 5 pounds, you may even have to go up 10 pounds, but it may not be actual fat. Like if you've got this storm of things happening in your body, we kind of want to just understand that so that you're not going back to restricting or you're not making health decisions like continuing to exercise in a way that could be suppressing hormones, making things worse for you. You know, you feel like it's helping you. It feels like it's going to keep you from gaining weight, but it actually could be triggering it. You know, because I just want you to think about the possibility of, I have a lot of stuff in my head about gaining weight, and that could sometimes cloud how I'm viewing the scale, my clothes, and things like that. Because if you're like bloated, you know, that's not you getting fat. That's your gastro self holding water, overreacting, being angry down there. There's a girl I follow on Instagram. I forget her name is Molly Fit. I can't remember what her name is, but she's like from England. She shows these before and after pictures that are the morning versus the lunch. And she's like not like a super thin chick, but she's very healthy looking. But she has a lot of fertility issues. And she has a lot, like she's very similar to you. She's got a lot that goes on downtown. And if she has a reaction, she will look like she got pregnant in the matter of 4 hours. I mean, it looks like the chick gained probably 10 pounds. Now, she's a trainer and she's really healthy. That's just her body. And so she's had to learn, I like her because she's had to learn how to not let what her body does be overly influencing how she treats her body. She treats her body as if it works well. Now, when I say all that, now what comes up for you? So I mean, I just feel for you. I know how confusing this is. I can see that it's just like,
I mean, these are the when I said I'm working through it, these are the same things I came to the same conclusion of is it's probably inflammation, it's probably my hormones, it's but But as I feel my clothes getting tighter, it and I also thinking about not working out, I'm still struggling with that.
I think you're going to struggle with it, but where we can put some space in there is to understand, of course, I'm going to struggle with this because I'm afraid of gaining weight. Of course, I'm going to struggle with this because I've always tried to solve my body's issues by starving myself. I've tried to out-exercise things. Like when I'm going to attack this problem in a completely new way, I am going to struggle with that. Because I'm only used to thinking about it this way. I'm only used to solving the problem this way. Anything else will always feel scary, will always feel different. It will always feel harder simply because you're not used to it. So, like, just for you to realize, it's going to be a struggle at first, not because it's wrong, because it's different. It's going to take really rewiring how you think about your body. And like when you say, even just the way you say it, like tell me how this feels. This is probably inflammation. How does that feel? One word emotion.
Not convincing.
Yeah, scary. Now, when I say it like this, I'm learning that this absolutely is inflammation. It probably feels weird, but like when you just even call it, it's probably inflammation. You're also ginning up in you, like, no, it's not. Probably, no, I'm going to tell you, like, you've left the door open for this is a me problem. This is fat. This is for sure. Like, your brain is like, all I need is a crack in the door. Like, and I'm going to bust in like the Kool-Aid man. Yeah, slam the door shut. Like, I would just invite you to train yourself to say, like, I am learning that this is inflammation. I am learning that this is, hormones, whatever. I'm also learning there are new ways to take care of myself. And it's going to take me some time. And it means, like, right now, when you take away your exercise, you might gain fertility. You may gain your periods back. You may gain estrogen, all these things. You're losing a coping mechanism that you have right now. And when we are taking away safety, you have to be very aware of it because for you, it's not just not going to the gym. For you, it's saying, if I take this away, I get fat. And when I get fat, I make this mean this. And that's what's happening. And that's why you run and that's why you keep going, even though you know the doctor says not to, and you have amazing reasons to do it and all kinds of stuff. That's the reason why it's happening. So we have to figure out how to unwind some of that that's going on deeper inside of you. And that takes time. It won't feel amazing. You will struggle for a little bit. I just don't think you have to struggle as hard.
He did say that it's not an issue if I am fueling my workouts adequately. I remember you talking about how you purposefully gained some or purposefully started adding more food.
Back when I was
And
bodybuilding,
yeah,
oh yeah,
and
I was literally talking to my old coach today. She's getting, oh, I don't know what is happening in this world. She's getting a divorce. I just happened to reach out to her. I
oh.
wanted her to write me a weightlifting program. I told her, I was like, girl, best workouts I ever did was when I worked out with y'all. And I was like, I am sick and tired of writing my own shit. And ChatGPT is letting me down. I was like, I'm going to hire you. I want you to write my workouts. And she was like, she took like 3 days to get back to me. And when she messaged me this morning, she apologized. She's like, I'm going through a divorce. I was like, oh, they were like married.
Yeah.
So, Anyway, but anyway, yeah, I gained 35 pounds. I think it might have been more, maybe 40. So it was right around there. But go ahead. 40 pounds. It was 40 pounds.
What were your thoughts about that when you would be at full or enough, but you would be eating past it?
I never ate past full. I ate too full. So, well, it wasn't like, I don't want y'all to think, it wasn't like, it was very boring food, number one. It was not as thrilling as anybody would ever think, but it was a lot of food. But I wasn't eating like, I mean, I was eating 2,400 calories a day and still weightlifting, and still, I still had to do cardio every day just to be able to keep the intensity of the weight. I was lifting so heavy back then that if I didn't do some cardio, I couldn't, my heart couldn't keep up with how hard I'd have to work out. So I wouldn't be able to work out as hard, like lift as hard. So I had to have a blend. I wasn't doing any HIIT by no means. I don't think any woman should be doing HIIT, to be honest. I love that your doctor don't want you doing that. I just don't think, I think it wrecks women's hormones. I think it's one of the worst things that women can do for themselves. I think walk, lift, stop right there. Or meditate, or read a book in daycare, whichever one you wanted to. But I think for me, I mean, I really, you know, when I was doing it, it was, it just had such a purpose to it. Like, it was like, yeah, we're going to do this because this is what's required to gain the muscle. Like, I'm not going to get there unless I do this. I mean, I was just very focused on that. Now, Stephanie, I did not like getting bigger. I mean, every day I had to, I refused to weigh. I weighed about the first 10 pounds. And then once that 10 pounds was over with, I could already tell that I was going to fuck with myself and not do what I needed to do because of that. So I stopped weighing. I didn't weigh in again until the very last week of the last meal plan. And then we started with my top weight to get back down. He needed to know what the number was to know what range I should be in for stage. All right, with that out of the way, it took a lot of every day me telling myself that I was not doing anything wrong. It was a lot of me telling myself, like I remember even thinking that this was a great opportunity for me to finally figure out how to be proud of myself outside of just my body. How to be like okay with things outside of my body. But it wasn't easy because I was just getting bigger. I mean, you got to think in 6 months and you gain 40 pounds, everybody notices. You know, I was working out in a gym where I had just competed. And then, you know, you go into your off season, everybody looks at you when you're ready to step on stage and they're just like, oh my God, you look amazing. Well, then they quit telling you that, you know, once you start regaining the weight. Now that, I was lucky because a lot of them were like, you know, oh, I see you must be getting, you must be in your off season. That was like the nice way of saying, we know you're gaining But, you know, it wasn't easy. But it's like, what I want to know from you though is, what do you most need, you think, to know or hear to make it safe for you to truly take care of yourself in the way you know you need to?
I think you're right. I do need to create safety around, and it's a good opportunity. I liked that. It's a good opportunity for me to work on loving myself in ways outside of my body, and my body not being the defining measure of my success or my consistency, or whether I have my life under control. I haven't let things go, or I haven't let myself go.
Well, and I think that's important distinction. There's a difference between eating to take care of your health, even if it means a little weight gain, and letting yourself go. And I think you need to make that clear distinction in your head. Like there were times in my life where I absolutely let myself go. And then there's been times in my life where I've regained weight for really good reasons. Wanting to add muscle for stage. That was a good reason back then. Now, sometimes I gain weight. Like I was talking to Valerie about, like, well, if I'm gonna, lift really heavy and stuff, what do you think about me gaining 10 pounds? What do you think about me slowly adding some weight on so I can, build that muscle back up? Because, the older I'm getting, the harder it is. I don't retain it near as easy. And I want to lift really heavy, which means I'm going to have to probably rethink even how I eat some. I was thinking about it today about how, how do I blend hunger and enough with powering heavy duty workouts? Because that's what I'm wanting to get in. I want to be, one of my goals next year is to squat over 200 pounds. I want to get them fucking chin ups. I'm at six. I'm going to finish the year shy. It drives me crazy when I don't hit a goal. But I want the 10 chin ups so I can start working on a legit pull up next year. So like my goals are definitely going to have to make me rethink my eating. And it doesn't mean it's not still intuitive. Intuitive will just change for me. It will say, like, when you work out, you need to eat before and after, even if you're not hungry, because that's what's going to power your workouts. And the
And
rest of
is
the day.
that the conversation?
Yes, that is absolutely the conversation, because I'm so, like, I just want you to think about it will probably, for me, I haven't done it yet. I'll let you know how it goes. But for me, moving from just literally, I eat like so habitual now. I do wait for, it's not hard for me to wait for hunger ever anymore. Like it just isn't. It is such a way of life. Stopping at enough, I would say I'm at 90% of the time, it's a no-brainer. 10% of the time, like last night we went to Chipotle. And they were over serving us. When I was watching it, I was like, Chris, you need to make sure our restaurant doesn't serve like this. They are for sure blowing their food costs out of the water. When we get home, we're watching football and I'm just eating. The next thing I know, I was like, fuck me. Like I just was eating away. And that rarely happens for me now, but it still happens. So it'll be a lot of like going back to putting in food at times I normally wouldn't anymore. And that will bring up probably a lot of old Corinne. Because you know how I tell y'all, you have those neural pathways, they never go away. I will guarantee you that it will bring up the like, oh my God, you're going to gain weight, even though I'm trying to. It'll want to freak out over it because my brain is not still. Even after all these years, it's still not used to weight gain as being like the first thing we think about is how this is amazing. This is your goal and stuff. It's like, oh my God, are you sure you want to do this? You work so hard. What if people like leave your membership because of it? What if, what if this happens? What if this happens? Then I have to just redirect my brain. It'll be, I know 100% signing up for being the kind of person who the habit is to know when old thinking arrives and reassure myself until the new way of trying to add muscle and stuff becomes more of like, now this is the habit. It'll be the same if I decide to stop adding muscle and I don't need those shakes anymore. Like, it'll be like cutting out that food. It'll be a good time. After a while, I'll get used to it and it'll be a good time. And then when I'm like, you know what? I don't really need these anymore. We're not trying to add any more muscle. We're just trying to keep blah, blah, blah. So I don't really need this. I'm not hungry for it. Then my brain will be like, oh my God, but you were having such a good time. They're so delicious. You really like it. Are you really sure you'll lose every ounce of muscle you just built? It'll like bitch on that side. It's like, there's no making your brain happy. It's always determined to bitch. And that's why you have to come in there and be like, all right, let's talk about it one more time.
Yeah.
So, like for you though, I just want you to be thinking about how are you going to create that this is safe for you and that you are going to freak out. And the work for you is to learn how to calm yourself when the nonsense wants to start. When it's like equating, I'm trying to get my estrogen back and I'm trying to get my periods back. I'd like to have children. Eating more is 100% not letting myself go. This is like going all in on myself. Letting myself go means going to the gym 5 days a week is my only source of joy and being afraid I'm going to gain weight. That's letting myself go. That's letting go of the idea I'll ever have children. That's letting go of all of that beautiful bone I'm going to have. I'm going to be a chalk lady at 70, breaking everything because at, 30, I'm not sure how old you are, but you also look awful young. Today's the young day of coaching. But it's like, letting yourself go happens in the adverse too.
Yeah.
Maybe ask your doctor if he could recommend, I mean, if you're open to it, like a nutritionist, somebody that you can really work with on, like, I've got bowel problems. And I've got hormonal problems, and I have a history of restricting, and like somebody that really, or maybe even look for yourself if he doesn't have somebody like that, but you really need someone who really understands those complex pieces. It's not just a nutritionist that you need.
Yeah.
You just need someone, and there's a lot of online people you might even be able to Google, but you want somebody who kind of really specializes in all of that
Yeah.
to make that increasing in food safe for you, tolerable. Nothing says you have to like jump your food up overnight. Nobody says you have to cut all the exercise out overnight. If it feels safer and easier, you just start ratcheting things a little bit at a time till
Yeah.
you get comfortable and then you move to the next phase and the next phase.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Was it helpful at all? I feel like I've told you about a thousand things. And I don't know if any of it made sense.
It does.
All right. Well, you keep coming back. You can come back as much as you need. These maintenance calls, there's only one other person with their hand raised. So don't worry, you're not going to wear me out.
Thanks.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
you.
All
Okay.
right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Julie. Vern says she has a registered dietitian that might be really good for you. So, oh, hey, Julie, I don't know who I was expecting. Somebody said, what did I say about letting yourself go? What I was saying is that sometimes we say, like, we can equate that if we're going to eat more, like, she's like, her brain is trying to tie. When I eat more, I'm letting myself go as if it is the same as in the past. So like for me, when I was in my 20s, when I would diet and then all of a sudden not be dieting, I was letting myself go. I was just like, fuck it. I can't lose weight. I've made a mistake, whatever it was, and I'd eat my face off for like months. That was letting myself go. This is very different. She's not letting herself go. She's actually being really intentional. She's eating more on purpose for a very good reason. There's so much there involved. And then I tied it to the real definition of her letting herself go right now is almost like letting her future self go, saying, like, I'm so paranoid about my weight right now, I will sacrifice hormones, children, and bone health in my old age. And that's another way of looking at you can let yourself go in two different ways. It's not just limited to this. All right, Miss Julie, what you got?
Well, so much for your youngin' call.
All right, not everybody's been a youngin', but inordinately, I've had two or three today.
Yeah. Well, in a week and a half, I will have been here for 8 years. So, and I have
Really?
done,
Happy
yes.
anniversary. Ocho.
long time ago. So I remember you when too. And I remember when little Logan was little Logan and gave the State of the Union address and all of those fun memories.
Know. I bust that video out every now and then just
Oh
for
God.
fun.
I know. It's just the funniest thing. So anyway, I wrote things down because I don't want to ramble, but to plug Lizzie's book, I am a pre-reader of the book. I signed up to do that for her, and it is, I highlighted something on every single page. I'm on chapter four, and it, get it. It's a good book. I mean, not to you.
Yeah, we're gonna the
Who's
second
listening?
she re when she releases it, everybody, we will I'm gonna put it in our newsletter. So be checking our newsletter. We'll get y'all a link and everything to it. So
And you know, so anyway, I just went, and I actually signed up for her with her to do some private coaching for what I'm about to ask you about too.
oh, okay,
And that is that I do believe it was last January we did a write yourself a future letter or what your goals are for the year, that kind of thing. And I realized in July I hit my weight goals, I hit, and I'm now writing new goals and changing all that. So as most of us are, I've been a lifetime dieter since I was 12. I've been aware that I was overweight since I was six. I'm 67. So there's a lot of undoing that I've been doing over the last 8 years with you. But I've also come to the realization when in 2020, when we did Don't Stop Believing with, and we did the coach, Angie, I think, did the 16 week, we did a whole how to do it all and everything. And what I realized, even though we had to do DSB on our own at home because of COVID, I realized a huge lesson, and that is it was the pursuit of the goal and not the goal. And like you have always said to us, you know, if you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy when you get to your goal weight and all of that. Once I crossed that finish line, I did a half marathon with my husband watching. That was it. But it was the biggest letdown. Like, well, now what? Because I had nothing to work towards. So, I am now at a new goal weight, and I'm maybe going to try to make it another 2 or 3 pounds. But the goal weight that I thought I had, I hit, that was 5, 6 pounds ago. So, I'm at some point, I have to change my whole like identity is really what it is, I think. And a couple of years ago, you coached me on what do I do next? Well, I know what to do next. I love the gym. I love going to my gym. I go Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I love lifting heavy weights. I can bench press 40-pound dumbbells for six, not eight yet, but like I love doing that. So that is something that I can have as a goal, I suppose. Mostly because at older ages, you have to keep your muscles, muscle weight up. And I do an, I go to, I get an in-body every 2 or 3 months. I get on the in-body, which is kind of like a DEXA scan, but not as
I
good.
get one at my a physical every year. My doctor requires
Yeah.
one. Yeah.
Well, and the trainer will say to me, you know, I'll say, oh, I've lost 6 pounds. And I get all excited. She goes, yeah, but you lost a pound of muscle. She gets mad at me. She goes, don't you be losing any more weight unless you gain muscle. So I that is a goal of mine also. But I guess I want coaching on the actions I have down. I went to a Christmas party on Friday. I put a bunch of different desserts on, and I picked the one that was, you know, the rel velvet ready worthy, you know, all my actions, that's okay. It's who am I now? Like, I'm not a dieter anymore. I want to shift to I'm a normal eater. I am just a normal eater. And but then I need a well, now what am I going to work on? Like, I feel like I want
What do
a
you want to work on outside of life or outside of dieting? You already
well,
said you want to
yeah.
work on more strength training. You want to get heavier. You're shooting for 8 reps.
Yeah, those kind of things.
I mean,
And that's
that's big. I mean, like that's me. Like I keep a spreadsheet every, I'm the nerd in the
oh,
gym
yeah.
with my little Excel spreadsheet, plugging my numbers in.
Well, I would not do Excel spreadsheet because Excel and I don't get along. That would be my husband. However, I do. We have a booklet with all our measurements and our weights and, you know, sled pushes and pulls. How heavy can I do it? And I can So I'm stronger than my husband and a lot of the men in there. So that's very fun. So I
Okay.
get like endorphins from that. That is a and dopamine, but
So one thing is you're a lifter, you're an exerciser, you're a maintainer.
yeah.
Those are three of your identities.
I guess it just feels so weird. I guess I just have to get used to it. It's just like I'm not the dieter in the room, the person who's on the diet. And I weigh less weight cup like probably 8 pounds less than I weighed before I got pregnant with my son, and he is almost 37. Like it's a really long time that I've weighed that. I will get on my treadmill at home if it's raining or something, and I you know how you put your weight in before you do, and I always start 20 pounds heavier and go, oh, that's right, I don't weigh that anymore. And I guess it
I
just
think
takes
it's,
time.
yeah, you're just needing to get used to it. Like,
Yeah.
it's more like this is just like your habit brain. It's just used to identifying one way. So it's kind of like, it's putting your weight in too high. And that's just where
Yeah.
you just refresh it and be like, oh, no, this is what I weigh now. Oh, no, I'm a maintainer. Like, when whenever you catch yourself talking outside of your identity, you just redirect it. It's no different than when I keep using that right hand thing. Your brain is going to want to go to what it's practiced all these years, even the way it talks and it frames yourself. But that doesn't mean that's who you are anymore. It just means it's very used to going there. And I think you're coming into the awareness phase of like, oh, I'm actually this over here. I've now got to get used to articulating that a lot.
Yeah, so just take time and practice, I guess. And like it just blows my mind sometimes. I shifted to in the fall to my winter clothes, and all my clothes were like falling off. And I thought, well, my gosh, what happened to my clothes over the winter? They must have stretched out or something. Or I go to the store and I go, wow, they're really missized, these clothes. Like that, I better tell the management these sizes are all wrong. And then I go, well, Julie, duh.
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds stupid, but
it's not stupid. It's literally neural pathways.
yeah,
Julie,
I guess.
you said you've only been in no BS 8 years, but you've got 67 years of lived experience. So you've
Right.
got like, what, 50 years probably or more of thinking in one way. And you're like, it's crazy. Why would I not have switched all of my inner workings already? It's like, I've been at maintenance for over 15 years and I still have old shitties and old thoughts and like old things. I still to this day have spent more of my life overweight than I have spent thin. And yet no one I know knows me from I don't even know if I know anybody, literally, other than my mother and my brother and my husband. I think that's the only three people probably in my life, my mother-in-law, that know me as overweight ever. Ever.
And the funny thing is, people who did know me, I just had a girls' weekend away with some people I've known for 35 years. And they keep saying, well, you didn't lose that much, did you? And I show them pictures of me 45, almost 50 pounds ago. And they're like, they don't remember me like that. They have no
Right.
memory of that. And they're like, well, we just remember you. We just don't remember you, that you were that. And then they look at it and go, that can't be you. I'm like, yeah, it was. So, yeah.
And the
It
difference is that your brain doesn't forget those things.
right.
Like it has seen you through one lens. Even if you're losing weight, if you keep talking about yourself as being overweight, it will see your brain just literally sees whatever it is you allow it to see. That's why body dysmorphia happens. That's why things like that happen. I have friends who are a lot thinner than me. And to hear them tell it, they're like a roly-poly. And I'm like, no, you ain't. But in their mind, they've got weight problems. In their mind, it's so different. It's literally whatever it's what you tell yourself is what matters.
Yes, and that one thing that I do have to keep working on, and I'm very aware of it, is judging my body for the loose skin that I have, and actually also post-menopause, which all my I used to have much bigger thighs and rear end. Well, now my thighs are actually smaller in dimension. I found measurements than when I was in college, but it all shifted to my stomach. And they call that menopause and all that. And so if I overeat a little bit, even like eat, and all of a sudden my stomach hangs out and I look down, I'm so disgusted. And I think, no, wait a minute. It's most of it's just skin, and I can like pull it all up, and if I let go, I go, oh God. But that is something I do have to tell myself out loud. No, even thin people who have never been overweight have what I call, I
Oh
think I
yeah.
call it my sourdough bread look,
Okay.
the
Here's
and all
what
of that.
you talk about identity and wanting to get used to your new identity. Here's
Yeah.
a few things I know you can do. Number
Okay.
one, stop saying you have sourdough arms. You should never say that again. It's just
You're
not
right.
helpful. It's not helpful
I
for
know.
switching your identity.
I know.
Taught like no more body checking.
Right.
I actually read a book about this. I don't remember the book was. It was years ago because I had a bad, bad habit of standing in front of the mirror. I still do it sometimes. I have to make myself stop. I what I call hike up my legs.
Yes. And
So,
it's not bad when you hold them up. You're like, yeah, they look pretty
oh yeah,
good.
when I hold my legs up, I'm like, wow. But I reminded myself, I said, Corinne, you've never once hiked up your legs and thought, you have amazing muscle. My thought, it always triggers one thought. Too bad they look this way because they could look like that. And that always feels defeating and it always feels demoralizing. I've never ever body checked and it had a good outcome. Like for me personally, all right. I read this book that talked about it and it said it's one of the most detrimental behaviors a woman can do for her own body image because it's pretending that it should look different than it is. And when you think about it, the way your body looks shouldn't look different. That is a fight you can't win because this is the body you have. So whenever you're in that, you're always left feeling defeated. Less than like something, it's never a good feeling. And it makes you pine and it makes you all kinds of things. Now, I'm going to give you a thought that I worked with my coach on this week because we were talking literally about, we were talking about my chin, we were talking about all kinds of stuff. But I have got some strength goals this year. And I was just casually talking to her and I said something. Like, I can't remember my exact thought, but it was something along the lines of, I'm never going to look the way I want. And that's okay. And she said, can we just look at the thought, I'm never going to look the way I want? And I literally stopped and said, what do you mean? And she said, you do realize that's a thought, not a fact. And I said, what do you mean? I said, it's factually true that I will never look the way I want. She said, but how does it feel when you say it? And I said, well, not good. And I said, but I just need to accept that. She's like, I don't think you need to accept a shitty thought. She said, what I think you need to think about is I want to do anything I can to see what my body is like. I think the way I said it was, I want to see what my body is capable of. And when I said that, she said, now, how does that feel? And I said, well, I don't know, kind of hopeful, aspirational. Like I listed like several feelings that were more like whatever. And she said, Corinne, I will tell you may never look the way you want. But it's never useful to think about it that way. She said, what if you just spent the rest of your life thinking, I want to do all I can to see what I'm most capable of? I don't know. She's like, because I had told her, I said, I kind of like worked really hard on my chin-ups this year. I said, but I'll be honest, I think that I'm not lifting to my max capacity anymore. I think I'm going and I'm getting it done and I'm working hard, but not. Like I know I could be. Like if I really was in there just giving it my piss and vinegar every day. And she said, I think the truth is, you don't know what your body could look like. It may never be what you want, but it may be way better than you ever thought it could because you don't give it a chance. And I was like, that is my new thought. That will be my mantra literally for 2026 is I am going to see what this body's capable of. And
Yeah, and
I'm
that'll be so helpful for me too at the gym.
yes. Yeah. And you
Yeah.
leave it like up to being like she's really funny because she's all about, I know y'all probably are think it's crazy that I get coached by one of the most woo people that ever was, but she's woo to the hilt. And she said, I just want you to be sitting there and be open to being shocked and surprised at what could happen in this next year that you right now don't think can happen because you keep telling yourself you'll never have what you want. And I mean, when she said all of that, I'm going to tell you, Julie, it was a big moment for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I have not, but like there's been these certain coaching sessions we have had over the years. I've been with her over 6 years now. And there's a small handful that it was a moment she said something that I thought, now that's going to change my life. That's
So
going to make a big
it
difference.
opens the door to all sorts of possibilities, right? It just,
Yeah, because every now, like
yeah.
most of the time we work on shit and they're good sessions, don't get me wrong, but they're not aha moments. It's like I walk out with like, okay, I need to like, I'm going to be needing to think about this and whatnot. Like I'm not sold on it. And then every now and then she'll like drop something out of her mouth and I'll be like, that somehow something clicked. And something just in me, like I could feel it in me shift. So the reason why I share it with you is so much of what you've got going on is so good. And you talked about
Right.
shifting identity and stuff. Shifting identity is all rooted in what you allow yourself to say. You're already showing up with a new identity. You just haven't locked the conversation in yet. And if you can show up with the new identity, it means it's down in there.
Yeah.
It's just not got a good voice yet. It's like it's peeping, and you got a real loud, like, but we've always been overweight, and this is the way we've always talked to ourselves. It's like loud and booming. And then you've got this little people who are like, we just can't be now. We just wore the mid. Like it's just like squeaking, you know, and you want to get to where it's like, okay, no more body checking. No more, even if it sounds funny, don't call it your sourdough.
Yeah, I know.
These are your arms that press 40 pounds.
Yeah,
That's what they are.
and at the gym I go to is fitness over 40, so it's not everybody's spring chickens, but I am one of the older people there, and I've had two of the trainers say to me privately that I'm a role model for some of them. You know, there are some people that come in who have not exercised ever, and you can tell. And to show what's possible. And that may be, as you were talking, I thought, well, maybe that can be one of my shifts as being a role model for older women. That, you know,
I
I
am what's
lost all
possible
my,
for women.
right. I came in at 55. You know, I joined your group when I was already older. And so I agree with you that isn't that wonderful that the younger women are finding this out earlier for their sake.
For
But
sure.
It's still possible even when you're older. And people saying, well, I can't lose weight after menopause. That's bunch of bull. I mean, yes, you can. And you just wait till you're hungry and you stop when you've had enough, which I did not believe you 8 years ago. And I still went to Weight Watchers for 6 more months until I finally let that go. I said, she's not really telling the truth. That can't possibly be working. And it is. That's it. That's all you have to do. And water and sleep, right?
Yep.
Bam. Yeah. And so, yeah. All right. Now I feel inspired. Thank you.
That's
That's
what we
what I
want. That's what we want. We want to feel inspired. We want to kind of like
Yes.
clean up our mind. We want to
Right.
watch for little things and like that we say to ourselves. I mean, it's not crazy. It's not weird, and it's not because like anything's wrong. If I'm
Right.
still doing it, then we all know it must be all right
That's right.
because
It's normal.
like it's
Yep.
very normal. If the person who teaches you is still doing it, and the person who's teaching you had to get coached last Monday on her own body shit. So
Cool.
it's part of it. All right. Thank you,
Thanks.
Julie.
Good to talk
All
with
right.
you.
It's good seeing you. All right. right. I've got one person who's still here, Shelly, and you'll be the last one. And if you didn't want to come up, Shelly, just let me know. Okay, no, you did. Okay. I gotta shoot the rest of y'all's videos after this, but I shall potty before I do so.
Hi, Corinne.
Hey, Shelly, how are you?
Good, good. I'm wanting a little advice from you. I've been here a long time, 6 years, just about. Lost weight the first year really quite easily, 45 plus pounds maybe, and then gained back 25 over the next while. And then I stayed within a 5 pound range for a long time, and now I've lost that weight and a little bit more. So I'm happy about that. And whatever, I've been maintaining since maybe April-ish now.
Okay.
And so I feel like
Almost a
that's,
year.
I mean, that's really good for me. I've never lost weight and maintained like for that long. But I also am a, well, I struggle with binge eating, and I still am finding that, yeah, to be happening. And I pivot much better now. I don't hide from the scale like I used to when I was feeling badly about that and everything. And I don't beat myself up nearly like I did. And I don't,
Okay.
so I'm doing so much better in that area. But like, I actually just had a binge, I think, today. And I think I know what's behind it, and I didn't know if you could help me with that. So
Okay. What do you think's behind it?
my youngest son is 20. He has Down syndrome and autism, and he's been doing really good. He goes to a day program, and as a rule, he's been doing pretty well. But in the past, he's had some like behavior issues, and like, he ended up going to an alternative school, and he would refuse to go to school. He'd refuse, I don't know, and then he'd have kind of meltdowns. Nothing like horrible, but yet it's scary and it's unpleasant when it happens, right?
Yeah.
And he had an ex episode, whatever, last evening at my mother-in-law's house. And then also a couple days earlier, he refused to get out of bed for his day program. And yeah, eventually he got up and out the door, but the van had to wait for him for like 10 minutes. And it was just like another, like, had this thought, like, oh no, like this stuff is starting to happen, and it's probably not. I
Okay.
mean, I think puberty was a lot of it, what he was having. And I think he was just sick of school, previously. And but that's also when I gained a lot of my weight back, was when he was having all those struggles,
Okay.
right?
So right
So,
now you're worried that all of it's coming back?
well,
Or what do you like when we say that your son has Downs and autism, he had an episode at it was your mother-in-law's. Yeah. And then one day this week he didn't get out of the car and he was late. So,
Yeah, he wouldn't get out of bed. Yeah, so I had a
okay, didn't get out of bed.
hard
Okay.
time getting him out the door, and
And what do
which
you
of
make
course,
all of that mean that led to binge eating?
is this stuff gonna start happening more again, like with him? Because it causes me so much angst, because like, if he doesn't get out the door, it affects my day. Like, if I have plans to go clean a house, if I have to go teach music part-time like I do or whatever, like I'm banking on him being out the door.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because he can't be by himself. And
So
so
the thought really is this is happening again, and that's creating what?
just
Fear?
proud, yeah, fear of what it could mean, or if it's going to increase these types of things, or and it's just uncomfortable, like when he hollered at the dinner table at my mother-in-law's house, then, she commented, and then later when we were going to leave, he hollered again and threw something, and it was very unprovoked. And it just makes me, I don't know, I
Makes you
feel
what?
bad.
I feel
Right.
bad.
And
I
why
feel
do you
like
feel
I,
bad?
because I feel like I give and give and give to him, and then he treats me like that, and I shouldn't, I don't know, I shouldn't feel that way. I mean, he's cognitively, he's, I don't think he's like, I'm gonna just be mean to my mom. You know what I
Okay,
mean?
this is what I think is happening. I think you've got two big things happening. You have the legit fear that this is happening again because he's displaying behaviors that you wouldn't want to happen again. But I don't feel like that's the real problem because you already have told me twice, but I don't think it is. And like you've already reasoned, like logically, you're reasoning why it's not. Like you already had, like you had one thought when you said this is happening again, and then you said, but I really don't think it is. And you said something, I just couldn't write that fast. Okay. So when one thing you're already doing for your binge self is you are already doing what is the best thing. When your brain starts saying, is this happening again? You need to say, no, this is unlike last time because. And you need to give yourself the reasons why. Because if you don't, then it switches. I mean, if you say, like, is this happening again? Your brain is like, okay, I got to prepare for worst case scenario. So deep down, it's saying it is happening again. And here's all the bullshit that's coming along for the ride. And it's just going to like gin you up big time. Because if we let questions go unanswered on purpose, our brain is only left to answer it through the lens of its worst fears and apprehensions. That is the brain's job. The brain's job is not to sit back and be like, well, let me just logically think about this, when the while she's out, buying groceries. And the brain is like sitting there just cycling through worries and stuff because it needs to protect you. The brain's job is to keep you safe. It wants it easy, so it's going to come up with the most easy solution. This sucks, and here's why. And if it thinks if it gets you nervous enough that you will take action to make sure this doesn't happen again. Okay. I think the real problem, though, the one that you're not addressing, is he acted out at your mother-in-law's and you got upset. And then you got mad at yourself for being upset. Because you said, and I shouldn't feel that way. Because he's cognitively not able. You should feel that way. You know why? It's a natural human emotion to be embarrassed, to be upset, even if he can't control himself. It's normal to be mad about it. That doesn't mean that, like, you don't also understand, but you're a mother. And you're worried about him. And he's acting out. And it's embarrassing when he does it, probably. And you wish he wouldn't. And that's all normal. The part that we can make better for you for your binging is to not make you the bad guy because you had a human reaction to your son's behavior.
Okay, that makes sense.
What are you thinking? Because I see the tears. Somewhere, it looks like tears. I don't know. It could be half blind, but
You're probably right that I have to remind myself I can hold several emotions at the same time, right? It doesn't mean I don't love him. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means that I'm upset that it happened and I don't have to turn to food because of it, or
I think
and I
the model that I'm saying the model, this which y'all don't understand, but when what I wrote down, it makes sense why you would binge eat. Because if you feel shame that you are judging your son, or shame that you're thinking things that you think you shouldn't think about him, and on top of that, underneath is just fear that this could be happening again. And if you're not actively noticing and addressing it, then you would want to binge. Because that's a like if you think about shame and fear, those are very loaded emotions. You know, like if it was just a little bit of I don't know, you were just a little pissed. You know, like you wouldn't be binging over that. But that's not where you're at. You're ashamed that you're somehow not having better thoughts about your child while also scared as fuck that some type of past trauma with him is happening again. It smells like it. And what I usually like to remind people is just because the way our brain works is it has these ways of cataloging everything that happens. And then when it catalogs things that, when I say trauma, I don't mean like you got beat by him, but there are lots of trauma things that happen to us where, you know, like if, like with Logan, I have a very traumatic experience from whenever he has even a fit as an adult, he rarely has them. But when he has one, it takes me back to the years he had them daily. And when he was having them daily, my life was hard. Like, I felt like a terrible mother. I felt helpless. I was angry at my situation. There was a lot of embarrassment. I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. Like, we spent untold money trying to help that child. You know, for me, that period of his life was very traumatic. Even though it's like, you know, there are people who have had worse in the world. But for me, it was scary, and I never want to go back there. And so now, when you know he has a fit or something, like just the whiff of something that reminds me of that, I don't just think like, oh, this is probably going to be okay. He's a lot older. Like my rational brain doesn't think first. The part of me that's scared for me and him comes flying in, and it freaks out, and it says, "This is like that." Because it's trying to explain something in a way that will grab my attention and fix something it thinks is an emergency. And so I just have to get really good at noticing when that happens. And I always have to remind myself, just because it looks like it, smells like it, or sounds like it, doesn't mean it is it. It's kind of like have you ever been someplace? Like other day I was at someplace and I thought I saw Chris. From the behind, this guy looked just like my husband. And I even walked over. And when he turned around, I was like, oh, like I didn't even talk to him. I mean, I was almost embarrassed because I was just about I was going to goose his ass. But luckily, I was out in public. And I thought, why would Chris be out? He must have borrowed, like, it didn't even make sense. But for a minute, I was walking over there because it looked like Chris. Our brain, it does that with situations too.
Yeah,
So
makes
just
sense, especially situations that, yeah, were hard and were things you don't want to go through again or whatever. Yeah, that makes sense.
So for binging purposes, I think what you want to do, I think you already know this is probably why I binged. Like I had a couple of back-to-back situations with my son happening, and unless you, like you might want to keep that in mind as that could be a trigger. So if I'm having a tough day with my kid, or if I have a tough series of days with my kid or something, I want to remind myself, like, I could get really scared. Am I scared? I could be overreacting. Am I overreacting? I could be feeling bad for thoughts that I have about him. Am I doing that? Like, really being aware that this might be one of your triggers for binging so that you can say to yourself, I'm going to be on the lookout for this. I may want to eat over this. And I will know because I will do these behaviors. But here's what I also know about what's been going on. You know, because the last time what I learned is this isn't like that. Last time what I learned is I don't have anything to be ashamed of. Sometimes mamas don't like how their kids act. So, and it doesn't matter if they're neurotypical or not. We shouldn't feel ashamed because we don't like how our kids behave because they have different ways, like in their head. Like, you are still owed to be a mother. Just like all mamas, you get to feel embarrassed and mad at your kid whenever you want. You know, it doesn't mean you're a bad mother. It just means sometimes that happens. And so being aware of that helps. And then, you know, for you, because you do have binge eating and it's still occurring, don't make it a problem with your maintenance. Make it like, you know, I may never stop binging. I may stop binging. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is I can get really good at handling them because I've already shown myself I'm good at handling them. I've already shown myself I'm not as hard on myself anymore about them. I've already shown myself that like binging and my weight can they can coexist. I've already shown myself all this stuff. So you can create some safety also around the binging.
Yeah, that's a good reminder too. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And I appreciate you. Appreciate well, all the ways I've grown in the last 6 years. So
Well, that's
thanks.
awesome. Well, thank you for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That is it. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to go record y'all's workshop. I need to record the last videos for the workshop. I promised Chris I would finish that today, that I was not going to be doing it. I've got the y'all are also getting there's like 8 weeks of material after that. And I will shoot y'all a video for how you use it in maintenance because we're going to be working on it for 2 months. But there's nothing we're working on that I don't think that y'all can do. It's a lot of re-examining hunger enough and planning and things. And I want you doing it through the lens of maintenance of like, you know, what is enough in maintenance for me? And what is, you know, what is hunger, like what level of hunger do I want to wait for in maintenance? So I'll give you some information about that. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.